David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to The Advisor with Stacey Chalemi. And today I'm very excited because we have a very special guest on this show. We have Matt Travasso, and he is an amazing author and coach, and he recently authored his book that he's going to talk about today. And it's an amazing book because it's about unlocking your potential. It's something that's very important because we all have something special within us, and we all have the potential to become the best version of us. And he's going to tell you his own version of what he feels unlocking your potential means and how you could do it and apply it in your daily life to make yourself the best version of you. Matt, it is a pleasure to have you on the show today. I'm so excited, you know, to work with you. You had mentioned that you worked with Tony Robbins. You coached with him, and you've done many things in the past to help others, you know, improve their lives. And I'm just honored to have you on the show and have you share your own experience with us. Now, you talk about unlocking your true potential, and you know, my first question is, you know, what got you to that point where you felt like that you became so passionate about unlocking your potential? Because when we do things in life, especially as coaches, we share messages that mean something to us, that are important to us. And there's usually a story behind that. So what's your story? Why are you so passionate about teaching others how to better themselves, how to unlock their potential, how to be the best version of themselves?
Hi, Stacey. I'm very happy to be here. And the reason, the story behind this book and the way I decided to write Unlock Your Potential, there wasn't any specific situation or event, was always a great interest, passion, desire to find out about the human brain, how our minds work, how to get the best out of ourselves. And of course, I wanted to be the guinea pig of the situation, so to speak. And I wanted to see if this stuff out there, coaching and different therapies, whether they actually did work. And I utilized many different approaches, especially neuro-linguistic programming, for many years. And actually I went through an experience of being very excited about the power, for example, of neuro-linguistic programming for many years, especially during the 90s, 2000s. But then over the last, I would say, at least a good 10 years, I realized that there is something deeper than just these behavioral techniques and tools, even cognitive behavior therapy, that are too superficial to me, even though they can lead to results. They're not as deep as when you actually have your own experience, your insightful experience. You have an insight from within, and you see things from a whole different perspective. And whilst we're talking about changing one's life, changing behaviors, when you realize that it's all created by you, even the feeling to begin with, but you know, from at the core, meaning that what we think shapes, forges our experience, which is where I am right now. finally, after many years of exploring, of explorations, and that gives you so much choice and power in knowing that your experience is yours, and it is very fluid. So that's my style of coaching these days. So that's there a long, pretty long answer to the question, which is essentially a great desire to find out how to utilize the miracle, the mystery, the magic of being human, not just from a behavioral or purely psychological level, but also, I would say, also spiritual level. And when I say spiritual, I mean energetic level. Aware, fully aware, fully conscious of being at one with everything. When we appreciate this reality, this truth, everything gets to be simpler and easier. Navigating through life's storms and challenges and situations, it becomes easier and easier.
I love that. It's so true. We do have a very superficial way of thinking in our society because we have been bombarded with tools and strategies and techniques and different, therapies that we could, and that we could do this way and this will help us with this and this will help us with this and a lot of it is the same thing, but it's just each person has their own unique way of exemplifying it and doing it with their clients. But you went a step further. You went within yourself and you had that wake up call. You were able to go within yourself and actually connect with your inner self. You were actually able to find that energy within you, connect with that energy, and then come to realizations that you didn't have before about yourself. And you were able to unlock the potential through that. Now, for you, what was that wake up call like? Because a lot of people for years and years, they try to they can't they can solve problems temporarily. They could use therapies to help them through situations. But when it comes to really going deep down within themselves and connecting with themselves and understanding what makes them tick and why they tick the way they do, that's not an easy task because you really have to, there's a process to that. For you, how did you connect with yourself and what was the process to get you to that actual level where many people would just die to get to that level and be able to unlock that energy and that potential within?
Yes, that's a very good question, Stacey. Excellent. My process, since you used that word specifically, and it's a good word, it's appropriate, was that initially at the beginning, I'm also a psychologist as well. So sometimes coaches are not, and they don't have to be a psychologist at all. Like, for example, you mentioned Tony Robbins that I worked with. He's not, he doesn't even have a degree, but he's really good, right? In his own way of coaching, he has a beautiful style. Like Marshall Goldsmith, I worked with Steve Hardison, very different styles. Initially, let's say when I started, I made everything very complicated. Also, perhaps, maybe unconsciously, was a way to make me feel really important, and also maybe to people as well. If I were complicating, making everything very complex. So through the years, I simplified, simplified, simplified everything, big time, and what allowed me to really dance with life, with universe, with the emotions, because a big thing in training, in psychotherapy, in psychology, in NLP is always about dealing with emotions. It's about in NLP is manipulate the emotions because you can use this technique, and for a time they can work, and sometimes even for a long time. But you are left with the idea that you changed thanks to a technique,
yes,
which is not true, with a capital T. It's not. And therefore, you know, I lost the taste for these fabrications, and I wanted the truth. I wanted to go to the source. So I realized that all the emotions that I was after, that I wanted to experience, I already had them. It was I came here to this world with all the emotions I could possibly wish, desire, want to experience. I already have them as part of the factory settings. Factory settings already it's innate.
Yes.
Innate, like you know, like babies, for example, don't need therapy.
Yeah.
You look in a baby's in a newborn, especially, you know, in a baby's eyes, and you see pure bliss.
Yes.
They are in a state of natural, constant well-being.
Yes.
Except for those times when, you know, physical discomfort, maybe they need changing or they're hungry, but other than those times, they're, you know, they're actually navigating very well.
Yes.
And so I just let's say I instead of finding weapons to deal with life, I dropped them all. I dropped them all and trusted.
Yes.
Trusted the universe big time, because I realized that it was my extension. And because there was also, actually, there was a time when I was actually dealing with, I call it like a dragon inside.
Yeah.
That, sometimes, you know, we actually have to deal with something inside. And I was trying to tame the dragon. And it was hard. It was hard and exhausting, and I wasn't doing very well. And I remember I was in London at in Greenford Park. I was going to the university, and I said, "You know, this fight is really draining all my energy. You know, I was always so wiped out because of this constant fight, which was internal, inner civil war, which was going on for weeks and weeks and weeks, like month, at least like a month and a half to 2 months. Then finally, I surrendered to the dragon with a great wish, a dream, an idea. And I said, I was like, if instead fighting with this dragon, we became friends, whoa! I just, you know, just slightly entertaining the idea, I got so excited, so turned on, so in ecstasy, lit up like a Christmas tree, and it happened. It happened, and I was riding the dragon. He was so happy. I was happier than the dragon itself.
Yeah.
And I never turned back. And we just, you know, I sailed through the park to the university. I was a changed man.
Right.
And I could say that then, you know, everything has been rosy ever since. But then there were other, not as major, but other shifts that I've had since that time.
Right.
So, but you know, that was a great glimpse, a great message that told me that the best way to deal with emotions, because sometimes when we actually want to always be in a good state all the time, you are setting yourself up for a lot of stress and frustration, and you're not doing well. And because also you have this fear. It was not conscious, but unconsciously, looking back with hindsight, I can say that there was an unconscious anxiety about not being totally in control
Yes.
of my emotions, of my feelings, of my, oh my God, wow, that would be something unbearable. But ever since I started opening up and saying yes to whatever happens,
Yeah.
all the defenses dropped, all the anxiety lessened big time. And that doesn't mean that there won't be difficult moments, difficult times. There will be, but you deal with them as they arise, and they're never as bad as the one you create inside your mind.
Yes, it's true. It's so true. You said some really great pointers right here. First of all, the one thing you said in the beginning before was that so many people complicate things because they too, it's true. People sometimes they feel more important, smarter if they make things seem so complex and oh, look at me, I have this, large idea. And instead of just writing 5 points, the 5 bullet points, it turns out to be like, 10 pages worth of material, and anyone that looks at it is going cross-eyed. We don't have to make life so complicated. It's some You're sometimes smarter if you make things more simpler, and then you also have more success. The simpler you can make things, the less stressful it is for you. The less stressful, the more clarity you have, the more focus you have, and probably you'll probably enter the world of success more and at a better rate than you would if you try to make things so complex and try to impress others with your level of intelligence that you're trying to prove to people that you have. Just make life simple, and that could be sometimes hard to do for people because people, I know so many people that do that. And it's just like, and you'll meet many doctors too. They will talk, in medical terminology, and they'll be talking to a group of people that are on an eighth grade level, and people will just look at them and they'll be, dumbfounded. And, all you had to do is say, well, if your spine is out of alignment, then, you're going to have back pain. Instead, they go through all this, all I mean, they go into all these scenarios and theories and this and that. And you lose people that way. Now,
Absolutely.
when you have when it comes to simplicity, is there a good way to teach people how to take their world that they see, so sometimes really complicated because life is full of obstacles. Not everyone knows how to deal with obstacles well. How do you learn how to break obstacles down? Now, is it what you just said to focus on the present and not worry in your head about what is not even present yet?
Ways to so would you rephrase the question, please,
Sure.
Stacey?
So the first thing, how, many people look at life difficult in a difficult manner. They complex things. So if we want to, a lot of people don't know how to make life simple for themselves. What are some strategies in your own
All
way,
right.
that you can teach people how to make things a lot simpler for themselves?
Sure, yes. I think that people know how to make it simpler if they really wanted to. So sometimes, so I started using, as I told you, from, I've been doing it, I've been coaching people for the last 27 years. And as the years go by, the approach and the style gets simpler and simpler and simpler. And now these days, I use few techniques. And it's all like 90% of the magic happens through presence. And meaning like the connection, the interaction, the visually seeing and perceiving and sensing things. But yeah, anyway, so what I'm saying is that as far as techniques to simplify, to help people simplify what they would like to transfer, to teach, to do in their lives. If we inspire them, I find that, for example, there's a great quote by Einstein, which is very powerful. And he says, if you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough. This
Yes.
is very provocative. This is
I like
very
that.
provocative.
Yes.
Yeah. If you can't say it, if you can't describe it, if you can't explain it simply, it means that it's still not clear to you. You have a lot of you're still confused.
Yes.
You don't know it well enough.
I like that.
And that should push and force, in other words, make people find a way to simplify things, so that because it's like saying that you actually know what you're talking about. There's a great quote by Leonardo da Vinci, and he says, simplicity is the highest form of sophistication. Also, that's a beautiful line. So if people are inspired, I think anybody can find a way. Or if you can actually just ask somebody, if you were to teach it to a 12-year-old, what would you say? It's a
Right.
great question, and people will come up with something. And if it's still complex, you tell them a 12-year-old. You would say that to a 12-year-old? Really? So I think that people are more creative than they give themselves credit for.
Right.
And also, these are things that they make up in their mind. Oh, I'm not creative enough, but it's all a thought. It's some thinking that they have that leads them to think like that. And then, of course, that through time and repetition and persistence in that thought, it becomes a belief.
Yes.
So it's like it's rooted. But if we realize that it's still a thought at the basis, then we are back in the fluidity of the world, of ourselves, which is essentially what we are.
Yes.
So that fluidity, and trusting in something greater than ourselves, helps people to reconnect to this great power that we all have within,
Yes.
and find all the resources we need to do whatever we need to do. And if that simplifies something, we find a way to do just that.
I
No
love
doubt
that.
about that.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt at all. Now, if when it comes to unlocking our potential, if you were to teach someone how to unlock their potential, how would you go about, if someone says, well, you're telling me I have potential, that I'm more creative than I think I am. I have, there's plenty of potential within me. How do I unlock my potential? What is my potential?
The simplest way, where since we're talking about simplicity now, well, let's keep it simple. The simplest way is being spontaneous. The more, in fact, we were talking just before we started this podcast that we were talking about, the key is being yourself. Absolutely. That is truly the key to life, to success, to happiness, to inner peace,
Yes.
peace of mind, tranquility. And so when we are ourselves, we can access all the, I think, potentially all the resources of life itself.
Yes.
But anyway, a lot more than we need for the task at hand, for sure.
Yes.
And also, people can actually complicate the idea of being yourself. What do you mean being yourself? What do I have to do? What's step one? Oh, you can, if you want to complicate things, you always find a way. If your mind is incredible, you want to make things complicated. Sure, here's a thousand ways to make things complicated. Then spontaneity is a beautiful word, as being spontaneous, because and especially enjoying what you are doing what you love, what juices you, what turns you on, what excites you, what lights you up. What fascinates you, what gives you energy, what energizes you, that automatically allows you to again access your genius, the best in yourself. And so we access that by being ourselves, by being spontaneous, by doing what we most enjoy, what excites us, what turns us on, what we really love to do. And that's a beautiful thing, because as we all know, then that becomes joy, becomes fun, becomes pleasure, becomes truly pure joy. And that may very well be your work. But when you're loving it, you are doing it very well, because that's what happens when you love what you do. You are bringing your best resources available, and you don't get tired. You can do it for hours and hours. Time flies. And then what do you want to do? You want to do it more and more. And the more you do it, the better you get. And the better you get, the more skilled you become at that. Of course, the better the results that you produce. And the results, as they get bigger and better and greater, they motivate, they inspire you to spend even more time in that experience, activity, occupation, behavior, work, profession, whatever. So that's a beautiful, virtuous cycle. And it gets better and better. That's why they say the richer get richer and the poorer get poorer. The worse it gets, the worse it gets, the better it gets, the better it gets. It's a virtuous cycle. So that's why, in many ways, from this perspective, in this way, as we are framing success, it's easier to succeed than to fail. Because succeeding means doing what you love, doing what inspires you, doing what fascinates you. And no matter what, you're winning all the time. I know that it's an old concept, but it's cliche, because it's true. I know that people these days in the States are very focused on a lot of money, $100 million, billion. I know. It's like there's a lot of cash these days, and so everybody's just the economy is skyrocketing, it's exploding. There are challenges ahead. I don't want to be negative, but we know that there are going to be challenges in the market. But that's and it's great. If people are inspired by material goals, so great. Just be honest with yourself. You don't have to apologize. Just Yeah, to go all in and do what you are called to do, driven to do, absolutely. The only thing is that, we know that happiness, and that's, the essence or one of the main themes of this book, Unlock Your Potential, since, that was one of the questions. The main, probably, yes, the main message is that feelings are not a direct consequence of circumstances. So you can have great circumstances and people take their own life. And you can have standard on common average circumstances, and you can have people who are over the moon, who are absolutely beyond fulfilled and or serene or in peace or happy, truly, truly happy. And some people who are, have a ton of money, billions, and they're also very happy as well. So, hey, absolutely great. And but do not, let's not assume that the circumstances cause or determine our feelings. That is so valuable. Now, sure, as far as money and happiness are concerned, no big deal. Sure, let's go for both. Yeah, I'm for that, absolutely. But I also know that the two are in two different planets. This is especially useful when people are dealing with challenges. And that's something that we can call a given in life. That's something that everybody goes, there is no human who doesn't go through some challenges. And when we, but if we realize, if we know really, we have an embodied understanding, a sense of way of knowing. If we know that the two are separate, the circumstances mean nothing, are neutral until and unless we have a thought, we think about the circumstances, then we realize that it's not the circumstances per se making me feel the way I feel, but the thinking that I have that is making me feel the way I feel. And I can do a lot about that. I can do a lot about my thinking if I know that is my thinking the true cause of why I feel the way I feel. I can do a lot. But if I think it's the circumstances, I'm in trouble. And I'm gonna cause lots of troubles. Maybe I think it's those people, then I'm going to, go to those people and say, "Hey, stop making me feel like this. It's not them, so you're actually going." But most many people, I would say most people think that circumstances are the culprit, are the cause, are responsible. N they never are. So that help that allows you to navigate life's storms and challenges very serenely, taking things in stride, staying centered, and keeping your emotional stability.
That is huge. That's really huge because most people do think it's the circumstances, but it really is, as you say that, when you think about that, it is. It's the thoughts that we have in our head that's causing us to feel the way we feel, not the circumstance. But the tricky question is that how do you get that person to switch their thoughts? Because a lot of people have a hard time letting go of those thoughts. They repetitively think things over and over, and then they create scenarios in their head of what could be in the future, and their brain takes over, and it takes over their entire way of their mental health. It affects their physical health. It affects their spiritual growth. It affects their business. How do we let go of these negative thoughts in our head? and reconstruct them to be more positive. And so we are able to actually change our thoughts are into positive that things that are going to lead us to positive, emotions. So we can look have a different outlook of what's going on in our world.
Stacey, great question, great question, great question. And that is the level at which all the self-help books talk about and tell you to do. Change your thoughts, change your life. There are so many books with that title, same title, change your thoughts, change your life. I don't know how many hundreds of books have the same title. They don't actually sue each other. Hey, that was my title, but never mind. Yeah, that's all right. Now it's like, who knows? Everybody. Who's the author? Everybody. Okay. Well, not me, because I transcended and I was there for many years. And yes, and you can do that. And for a time, it may work. And at least you convince yourself you're into this. You have this illusion that something is working. Okay, I convince myself, I repeat the affirmations. Don't say those negative words, those negative sentences. Instead, say these positive phrases. Right. It seems that, yeah, right. It's not my style. And since we realize, we agree that thought has a lot to do, and as I said earlier, it is the magic secret, the missing link, the greatest power in the world that shapes, creates, forges, and really fashions, creates our experience. And there's a great quote that says, thought is not reality, but it is through thought that reality gets created. And so it's behind everything. The things that we are experiencing and we think they're solid, they are things of the world, then we realize they're not. They're just creation in our own mind. So returning, coming back to your question, the key is to catch that happening, is to at least catch a glimpse of the fact that it is our thought that is creating all these illusions, all these experiences that we are having, that we think they're coming from outside. They are not, but when, but and that is our power, is not in changing our thoughts, but in seeing how thought creates our reality. When we see thought in action, we are waking up to the magic of being human, because it's a pretty big deal being human, really. The human mind is incredible. And he tricks us, and he tries to trick us all the time. And there's a great quote by renowned physicist David Bohm. He says, thought creates the world, and then says, I didn't do it. Thought creates the world, and then says, I didn't do it, because he thought is behind everything we experience, good and bad. Oh, there's a great quote by John Milton that says, the mind can make a heaven of a hell and a hell out of a heaven. William Shakespeare, nothing is either good or bad, but thinking makes it so. But but making a heaven out of a hell and a hell and vice versa, that is like, yeah, wow. And you realize that very often. I remember, a friend of mine, and I've been in Hawaii several times, and I always had a great time personally. But I remember a friend of mine with his girlfriend, he was having the worst time ever. The worst time. They were always fighting, and it was like, gosh, we are, I spent a fortune. We are in Maui, this beautiful hotel, and they were fighting for a variety. Yes, and also, another example that allows us to see that it's not the circumstance, but it is our thinking. We've all found ourselves thinking about maybe a trip planning or a job interview or a presentation. And when we think about it, say, oh, it's cool. And then new thoughts, new data, new information comes to mind, and we are not as okay about that situation about which we were very okay a few moments before, earlier. What changed? The situation didn't change, hasn't even happened yet. But the way we relate to it, new data have come up to consciousness, and now we are aware of it that we weren't thinking about, and now perhaps we are anxious, or vice versa. So it's never the situation, the problem. It's always our thinking. So back to, once again, how do we simplify it and make it more practical? The key is to catch. And we become good with practice at catching thought, our thinking, whilst it's doing it. Doing what? Creating the experience that we're having. And if it's a, if it's not a good experience, and also for the it, also for the good experiences and the great and the not so good experiences, thought is always behind them all. But of course, we don't actually have to help the situation when we're feeling great. I mean, that's okay. All right. Even though, it's still a thought behind it doing all the magic. But people don't need help when they're feeling great. It's when they're not feeling so good that they need help. And trying to change their thinking at that time is still better than not doing that and focusing on the negative for sure. But the best thing is when you realize that it's just a thought, it's just a thought, and by its very nature, it is transient. It is temporary. It is ephemeral. It's about to go. As soon as we remind ourselves, and because we see, oh, it's just a thought, then it's like the cloud in between you and the sun, and you think, where has the sun gone? The sun has disappeared. No, because if we actually take at face value the fact that there's no sun because there are the clouds. But if I don't realize that it's just the clouds and I think, okay, the sun is gone, I might freak out. But if I know that it's just the cloud that will soon pass, I'm not bothered. I know that, sun is there. Sun, maybe metaphorically, well-being. Well-being never leaves you. It's within. It's us. Well-being, love, that's what we are at our core, our essence. Once when we remind ourselves of that, that we have innate well-being, innate health, then any temporary negative feelings, we don't take them so seriously. We don't give them so much power. We don't see it as truth, being meaning like it's not an objective reality, because it's not. Like I said earlier, thought is not reality, even though it is through thought that our reality gets created personally, because we humans have no way to experience reality in terms of objective reality. We have no way of, we only have a subjective,
Yes.
unique, subjective perception of reality. We only have a perception. Your perception, my perception of reality, your perception of reality is different to mine, maybe similar. Sometimes I tell my clients, when they're talking about somebody else,
Yeah.
imagine seeing the world from their, not just point of view, being inside their brain.
Yeah.
Inside their brain, like, whoa, that would be a mind-blowing experience.
Yeah.
No one has, and I asked that, I just invited people to do this experiment many, many, many hundreds of times.
Yeah.
Not one person has said, oh yes, I would see the world the same way. No one. They get it. They get it when you make it so practical that if I actually were inside their brain, so immediately they see that, they realize that we don't actually have these eyes that objectively allow us to see the world as it actually see. The brain never see the world as it really is,
Yes.
because it's always filtered by through our beliefs, our subjective experiences, our values, and so
Very
forth,
true.
so our memories.
Yes.
So we all have a different access, especially, the stuff that it is, intangible. Like, are you successful? Are you happy?
Yeah.
How fluid is that? Are you creative? Like we were mentioning, are you compassionate? Are you empathetic? Are you loving? That's the stuff. Are you confident?
Yes.
That's the stuff that the people care about.
Right.
But even, if we were talking about an iPhone or a pair of shoes or a dress, even though that's tangible, we might have different tastes.
Yes.
Even with things that are just like, a tree. People might actually have different perceptions.
Yeah.
Or the president of a country. It's one person. It's not like, do you like dogs? I mean, there are so many, but
Yeah.
imagine president of a country. There's only, yes, a prime minister of a country. That's only one person. But there's so, if we asked 100 people, how many different opinions we would get?
Yes.
Very close to 100.
Very true. 100. Yeah, definitely. Even more so, maybe.
It's so fun talking to you, Claire, Stacy.
It's so
I'm
fun talking to
enjoying
you
this very
too.
much.
Yes,
Yes.
me too. From our conversation today, if you, we talked about a lot of different things under the same, we focused on one topic, but we hit a lot of different areas. If you had to really emphasize on some important aspects, what would be some things you really want the listeners to remember from this conversation?
Right, yeah. Since we touched a few nice, beautiful things, would be the first is just to let's see, let's keep the good old three things. Being yourself is where we start at,
Yes.
and even though we can make it complicated, we know that if we want to make it simple, we find a way.
Yes.
If you really want to do something, we always find a way. If it, you
Right.
know, it's like, all right, okay, let's be ourselves. Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. Let's tell ourselves the truth,
Yes.
which is the foundation of self-confidence.
Yes.
Confidence is from the Latin to confide, which is to confide with the self, self-confidence. To
Yes.
confide means to tell the truth.
Yes.
To whom? To yourself.
Yes.
That's it. That's what it means. It's just be honest with yourself. Tell yourself the truth. So we've,
100%.
broke it. We
Yes.
broke it down. That's great. So being yourself, being spontaneous, and then really, it's so important, especially in these day and age, this wonderful time, it's fantastic, the best time in human history, that we have more options, more choices than we know what to do with.
Yeah.
We have the option, the possibility to really do stuff we love to do,
Yes.
especially, you know, for work, because if we
Right.
spend like 70, 75% of our
Yes.
time working, what a waste to be spending all that time doing stuff you hate. So, you know,
Yes.
no excuses. If you're, you know, if you're not enjoying and you're listening to this message, you know what to do. And the third, since we spent so much time talking about the power of thought, and it's not about changing negative thoughts with silly affirmations. Even though, you know, a good personal manifesto is very powerful. And in
Yes.
fact, I actually explain what it is, but it's honest, it's real. Who
Yes.
are you? To the best of your ability that you can come up with, to the best of, you know, your heart, what you really think about yourself,
Yes.
write it down. You know, your values, your aspirations, who are you? And it's not cast in stone, because it's always evolving. We are not a thing. We are everything.
Yes.
We are everything. And anyway, you know, regarding thought, let's remember that we are living not in the feeling of the world, in the feeling of my wife, in the feeling of the people around me. I'm living in the feeling of my thinking.
Yes. I
That's
love
a
it.
powerful message.
That is a very powerful message. That is amazing. You blew me away today with this conversation. I love it. I love it. Now, for people who want to read your book, where can they find your book and purchase it?
Amazon, best place.
Okay.
In all formats. It's also the audiobook is available, and all the other formats, Kindle, hardbound, paperback.
Love it. Love it.
Yes.
And what are some of the services that you provide to people?
Mostly coaching, and I have other businesses, and but you know, investing, I do. But you know, my passion is coaching,
I love it. I love it.
and my you know, anybody interested, my website is matttraverso.com.
And can you spell that for people just so they know?
Sure, Matt is MATT, as in Matt, and Traverso is like traverse, to traverse, traverse. Oh, so let's spell it. It's TR A V E R S O, all
Excellent.
one word, .com.
Love it. Love it. This has been amazing. I thank you so much for coming on the show today. This has been an amazing conversation. You really brought a lot of light to a lot of issues, you know, and you really called out a lot of things that our society does that we really need to like really think about. And, you know, some of those things are very superficial and we have to go a step further and really dive deep into ourselves and really start working on doing some of the techniques you mentioned in this conversation today to actually get to the point where we can unlock our true potential and we can actually, you know, be reach that point where we are the best version of ourselves and realize that this world is not exactly how we perceive it because everybody has a different perception of the world. It's with the thoughts we put in our head that make the perception, and everybody's perception is different. So it's that small lens that everybody has. But imagine if we didn't have that perception and we didn't let those thoughts interfere with the world itself. How we the world really is. What is the world? What really makes this world? And what really is going on? And how are really people? Because it's our thoughts that create our behavior. and create our actions. So if we didn't have all those thoughts controlling us, and we had a fresher, better way of implementing those thoughts into our head that would unlock our true potential, then we could start seeing the world from a different light, and maybe a more positive light, and we wouldn't have so much chaos in this world.
Exactly. Sacrosanct. So true. Beautifully put. Excellent.
Well, this has been amazing, Matt. Thank you so much for being on the show. I hope you'll come back again and we can dive deeper into some of these topics that we talked about. But thank you so much for today.
It was a great pleasure. And again, thanks for inviting me. And I look forward to seeing you next time.
Yes.
Cheers.
Cheers.